Welcome to the Biz Design Enterprise Architecture Podcast. I'm your host, Will Hardison, and in these podcasts, we talk to leaders in the areas of enterprise architecture and how they and their teams deliver value to their organizations to advance strategy, optimize operations, and reduce and manage risks. Now, let's get down to business.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another Biz Design podcast around enterprise architecture. I am your host, Will Hardison, one of the marketing managers here at Biz Design. I have Aaron Tan with me today. Aaron is the group CEO of ATD Solutions in Indonesia, Malaysia, Singapore, and Hong Kong. He's also the chairman and founder of the IASA Asia Pacific, which is the IT architecture professional body. And he's also written a book. He's a co-author of the IASA Beta Book, which is Business Technology Architect Body of Knowledge Skill Sets. I'm really excited to have him on today. How are you, Aaron? Thank you so much.
And thanks, Will, for hosting me. And hello, everyone. My name is Aaron.
So Aaron and I have been chatting about this topic for, you know, a few weeks now, and I'm really excited for him to kind of break down sort of the different eras of enterprise architecture. And, you know, we all know, like any industry, things change, right? Trends come and go, demands change, external factors change, and much more. But I don't think we've seen an era of change like we have over the last 3 to 4 years within enterprise architecture. I think we can all agree that COVID, you know, like it did with many industries, had a massive change impact on enterprise architecture industry. So, Aaron, I'm curious, and I know we're going to go back a little bit further. We had, you know, kind of previously discussed the past 3 to 4 years, but I think you're going to take us even further back than that, you know, and kind of explain where we started probably 10 or so years ago as enterprise architecture.
All right. Thank you, Will. I think for those of you who are architect practitioners that has been in the so-called in the practice for the last 20 years, right? You could recall somewhere in the year 2000. So if you see, you know, like a stock market typically got a graph where they go accelerate and then after the bubble burst go down, right? So enterprise architecture went through the same era. So actually, the graph was defined by Gartner. So year 2000 was the peak for the enterprise architecture adoption globally, right? Because remember, in the 1997, 98 is where the dot-com era picking up all over the world. So enterprise architecture also followed that wave. So year 2000 was the peak, and after that, free fall. Okay, there was the free fall until the rock bottom at the 2012. That is where the TOGAF 9 was introduced, then start accelerating. Then, of course, if those of you who follow the concept on the what I call it traditional EA, right? So the traditional EA actually back prior to 2013. And of course, the traditional EA means all the diagram, the model are static, right? I think we understand now the concept of static. I don't think we can accept the static architect today, architecture artifacts, because what happened is that in the static model, typically we cannot interact, right? We can only see the diagram, but we cannot even touch, right? We can print it out, but of course, as soon as you print it out, immediately obsolete. And of course, the most of the artifacts are either in Microsoft PowerPoint, Excel, or spreadsheet. Of course, the joke is that if we are not doing architecture, but we have become the PowerPoint or official architects, right? Yeah. Because our job, our life, deal a lot with the Excel spreadsheet. I mean, it was okay in the past, but I think now the world has moved, the technology also has moved on, and we need to adapt, right? And of course, if you can recall that if you were the practitioners in the early days, right, prior to 2013, the architecture typically taking place inside the project. Okay, so what do I mean by that? So when you look inside the project, the project manager or the project management already has the whole resources, timeline, budget has been decided. So what can we do with the architecture? Pretty much nothing, right? But it's just that, oh, they need to have an architect assigned to the project, right? So my analogy is that I was in that situation before. So it's like I want to play a so-called a marathon, but someone, but my leg were handcuffed, right? What do I mean? I cannot run, I can only jump, right? So basically, it's that I can't do much. Everything is limited. So that was the era prior to 2013, what we call it traditional EA or EA 1.0. In addition, back in the EA Enterprise Architecture 1.0 or traditional prior to 2013, and pretty much also technology focused, right? So lack of the business value or business validation. So pretty much like a typical IT project, right? We are trying to fulfill the business requirement. We focus a lot on technology. So that was the first era on the what I call it traditional EA prior to 2013. Of course, 2013 onwards, I think you heard the concept on the digital EA, right? Because the platform of like a mainstream platform like Beach Design also evolved a lot, right? And of course, with the push of the TOGAF 9 that are focusing a lot on the business architecture that make business architecture is a prerequisite before any other architecture domain can be established, like data architecture, application architecture, technology architecture, and solution architecture. So business architecture need to be done first, right? And of course, the EA also evolved, right? So it's following the construction world, construction of physical building world, that architecture is done before the project management. So basically, they have the understanding, the interrelationship, the dependency, the impact that particular project bring to the entire organization. Right. And of course, we can see as well that the emerging trend on the business technology integration. Right. So that was basically a digital EA 2.0 until the COVID time. Right. COVID time. Why do I say that? Because I think in the early days of COVID, many organizations, those who have adopted EA, they can transition or cushion the impact of COVID smoothly. Whereby those who don't have are still accelerating the digital transformation. Now, of course, now we are in the 2023. We already passed the pandemic era. Now's the time to do spring cleaning, right? I will call spring cleaning. Sure. Of course, Gartner said this, relook at the entire business architecture. We need to clean up what we have done in the last 3 years with the speed of, fast acceleration of digital adoption. And I think architecture will play a more critical role today than prior to the COVID era. Okay, over to you, Will.
Now, does it surprise you at all when you hear that some people are still using tools like Microsoft Visio, PowerPoint, and Excel? I know that was kind of 2013, but I mean, do you get surprised by that?
Actually, there are many of them, right? In fact, I deal with a lot of the enterprises, and as a matter of fact, that was the so-called by default tool of EA, right?
Sure.
Yep. They use some a drive collaboration like SharePoint or etc. But again, you can achieve some sort of architecture, but I would think it's very, very minimum, right? You can't deliver value. Of course, if you continue doing that, then of course the management will see that what's the value of keeping this enterprise architect department or team, right? I mean, sure. Of course, I have one a real scenario, right, of one of the client. They, in fact, managing all the relationship, all the meta model relationship of the enterprise using Excel, okay? And they need to have a gaming laptop to maintain or preserve the complex relationship. But actually, you know, the platform like this design is just a click away, right? Why would you have a team, right, and introduce an overhead and maintaining everything manually using Excel spreadsheet, right? They can preserve that, of course. I mean, like, we can also now do all the warehouse management system using Excel, but nobody is doing that today, right?
Yeah.
30 years ago, many. So Excel is the good starting, but I think now everyone need to revisit and relook on what your job scope and deliver more value than just doing many overhead tasks or mundane tasks. Yep.
So you've got the traditional EA, and then we move into digital EA, and that kind of brings us, you know, into the height of COVID. So now digital EA is here, but still somewhat behind us, right? So we're in 2023, and hopefully we've survived the challenging changes that came out of the height of COVID. So looking at this year and even a little bit more forward, what do you see as the current state of enterprise architecture?
Okay, well, in the last 10 years, I always face a challenge when dealing with the agile team, right? They told me that, Varun, well, we are the agile team. You asked me to introduce EA. Nope, right? Basically, it's like hindering my agile sprint progression, right? So I said, no, architecture remains static, but the agile is about the so-called style of how you deliver and build a system, right? Of course, I can't really define it hard, but until a TOGAF Enterprise Architecture Standard 10 edition came up end of last year, so they introduced the concept of the Agile EA, Digital EA, right? So it is a very good aligned with what industry is now doing. Everyone want to be fast, right? If you ask them, when do you need this? They tell you always last week, last month. They never say, I can wait 2 more months. No, yesterday, right? So EA also evolved towards that direction, right? The architecture is remain so-called stable, but the rapid change and the filling up the gaps, it will go into the agile so-called trend, right? In the agile, they got the so-called the product owner. So in the agile EA, we have what we call it architect owner, right? So the architect owner will manage a smaller chunk of the architecture job to be done, right? And then synchronize that with the sprint, right? With the sprint on the agile team, so that they can deliver results. Because imagine in the today complex on the digital world, you don't have architecture, you just leave it straight into the agile development. Of course, I believe the code will be there, the system will be up, but the maintenance, you have to pay 10 times the price, right? And you cannot afford to do that in this today context. We build something and then, you know, to stabilize take maybe 3 times longer, and also the cost going to escalate, right? Because information today is key and need to be preserved somewhere. This is where the Agile EA is preserving the information so that the Agile software development team can continue releasing a new product update, new features, new functionality, new capability. And I think in addition, what I can see is that we have to accept today, there isn't anything constant. The only constant is change, right? And then the change today, of course, you heard the concept of the FUCA, right? Actually borrowed concept from the US military, right? FUCA basically is volatility. So volatility is constant, right? So we cannot think like, we cannot adopt enterprise architecture because our business is very volatile. In fact, the more volatile you are, the more you need to adopt the architecture, right? So that you can react fast, you can change fast. And of course, the second alphabet in the FUCA is U, uncertainty, right? So everything is full of uncertainty. And again, talking about this reminded me on the like, 10 years ago, people told me that, Aaron, my business is moving very, very fast. We have no time for EA. I said, no, you can't do that anymore. Now it's that EA is now is adopted to cushion the impact of the volatility, of uncertainty, and of course, the third alphabet called complexity, right? We cannot eliminate complexity, but we can manage the complexity, right? How do we manage that? So enterprise architecture play a key role, right? With the framework, with the standard, with the governance, we can manage the complexity so that the complexity is become part of our routine activity, right? And the last part is ambiguity. So ambiguity also is very interesting because what happened is that sometimes it's very difficult to convey the message. I want to tell something about my architecture, but just my mouth, my lingual cannot describe that, right? I need to cover like 10 diagram, and after that people confused and they said, okay, never mind, Aaron, you do it, right? I just trust you. So like today in the context of the Agile EA, we have the notation like Archimate, right? So Archimate eliminating ambiguity. So everyone go into the same page, they have the same understanding, and you know, they can comprehend enterprise architecture, that they can realize it together. Okay. So I think this the concept on the Agile EA. Then if I want to add one more thing, I think now the whole world industry is moving towards SDG, right? A social a development goal. And of course they got the KPI, right? You can call it ESG, right? So ESG about environment, social, and the governance, right? So this is something what enterprise architects also need to focus at, because every industry now is trying to contribute to preserve the entire world, the entire environment, right? So enterprise architecture play a critical role, and how we can help our organization to meet and realize the ESG goal, right? Because ESG goal, I think, is the global trend up to 2030. So I can see the Agile EA will evolve rapidly towards 2030, where the ESG and SDG goal are fully so-called realized globally. All right, over to you, Will.
Yeah, You know, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, the only thing that is constant and consistent is change, right? And I think that we've certainly learned that throughout the past couple of years. And it seems as if the companies that were poised and set up for that consistency of change did very well, right? And the ones who were sort of stuck maybe in that traditional era and didn't really adapt to the changes or even like kind of foresee big changes coming did not do very well. Some may not even still be around, right? So, and I think, you know, you kind of have to move from this mentality of working in the business to working on the business, right? So it's kind of like getting up above and looking down. And I think that's one of the key roles of an enterprise architect is to not get lost in sort of the tornado of everything, but to kind of get up into, you know, the top of the tree and be able to kind of map everything out and look down and work on it instead of always in it.
Yes, sure.
Now, I know you don't have a crystal ball, but let's just say hypothetically that you do. Where do you see enterprise architecture as an industry going over the next, let's just say, the next 5 years? I know, you know, I mean, it's, you know, AI is certainly on everybody's radar, right? Artificial intelligence. So where do you see this space going over the next 5 years?
Right. Thank you, Will, for the interesting question. Right. Again, I don't have ability to do a fortune teller, but what I predict, what I have seen today, right? I can see that EA practice will be pervasive in the entire organization, right? Especially in those senior management. So also all the C-suite or the CEO, CFO, COO, etc. They need to have some sort of a framework for them to be able to develop a strategy and realize the strategy, right? So I can see. First of all, EA practice will be pervasive towards so-called senior management and board of director level. Okay, and of course, the second one is what I can foresee. So what we call it intelligent EA, right? Of course, in the era, if you see like a phone, handphone, right? They call it smartphone. After that, now of course, it's like the phone evolved rapidly. So I can see that upcoming on the trend on the enterprise architecture will be like EA 4.0, right? What I call it intelligent EA. So what happened is that we leverage a lot on the what I call it graph neural network, GNN, right? You can just search that definition that basically can help to make a recommendation and prediction. So as we build the entire landscape of our organization, right? So the EA engine, right, should be able to read from whatever the repository that we have composed or we have built or industry has built, and then make a recommendation to us, right? Because that will allow us to reduce our mundane task in terms of analysis, right? So the analysis done by the AI, right? It's the same thing like the ChatGPT, right? I mean, not that. It, of course, now it's like if you you want to write something, you just throw in a few keywords, right? So the ChatGPT gives you the first draft, right? At least with that first draft, can save my few hours of my time, right? The same thing, all the enterprise architecture will have this type of capability embedded into the platform. Right, so that we can reduce our analysis, we can also let the enterprise architecture itself, the tool, the platform, to suggest, identify the gap and the target, right, based on the strategy, based on the input or the motivation that we have put in, right? So that will I think will take place, right, a matter of years, not in the 10 of years, maybe in the 1-3 years. And I would love to see that, right? Because that will improve our productivity and, of course, increase the value of architecture to the organization again. Because what I believe is pervasive means enterprise architecture almost in every layers in the organization, right? And to do that, we need to have mainstream intelligence, right? Without that, people say, oh, architects, just pass it to the EA team. No, everybody should be able to realize the benefit of architecture. Okay, this is what I think will take place. And of course, with that, the business can be more agile, right? We can be more responsive to what the future, right? Like the volatility, uncertainty, complexity, and ambiguity. So it's become the norm, right? And yeah, so we will go into the follow the industry trend. And yeah, I believe the EA adoption will take off rapidly with that 4.0.
Do you see or do you feel that there's any threat with the introduction of AI?
No, not really, because now AI also need a so-called a pool of the information, right? That's why now for those organizations, they need to start your enterprise architecture, a model, landscape, etc., practice early, right? Because without that, whatever AI coming, they cannot learn about your organization, right? Because the AI need a data. So the data need to come from internal, right? So now is the right time. If those who have not started, those who have started can continue doing that. By the time AI coming, it will make your entire information architecture work become so-called much more intelligent, right? Okay. We can't wait until
that makes sense. That makes absolute sense. Now, we have a few minutes left over, so I've kind of jotted some questions, if you don't mind, that I kind of hit you with some rapid-fire questions. What do you think is the biggest challenge facing enterprise architects going forward?
Well, I think the biggest challenge is that how can we deliver or communicate value, right? We know our work has a value, but our challenge is that how we convey that to the senior management, right?
Sure.
At the end of the day, who will value of our architecture is our stakeholders, right? So I think what I can sum up to what I have experienced myself is the ability to communicate value, right? Because of course, the saying says that, we need to be able to speak business, right? We can still think technical, think technology, but we need to be able to write and speak business. With that, I think we can overcome many challenges because architect knows a lot of things about the insight, about information, about the organization, and ability to align with the business, what business trying to do, right? In addition to communication.
It's almost like they need to become storytellers, right? So,
all right, perfect.
You know, you have all the data, you've mapped everything out, but to be able to pull that out and tell the story of all that data, seems to be where the architect could take it to the next level, to where they could provide value through storytelling.
Yes. In fact, the ISA already did a research. 80% of the effective enterprise architect involved in the communication, right? Human dynamic, what they call it. 80% is human dynamic. So that's, I think, despite all the AI coming, all the trend of the architecture, but we need to beef up our ability to communicate, right? And of course, sharpen our human dynamic skill set.
Yeah, no, absolutely. All right, last one. So I was kind of sitting here thinking, as we've talked about the traditional EA, and I can't help to think that we've even kind of chatted a little bit, earlier in the podcast of does it surprise you that people are still kind of stuck in that Visio, Excel, PowerPoint mode? But let's say somebody is listening to this, sitting out there, and they are stuck in that mode. What is your best advice for that person stuck in the traditional era of EA? How can they convince or move out of that era into the tools that are available today and the practices that are available today?
Well, I guess you need to experience it yourself, right? Because some of the team said, I'm comfortable with Excel, right? I know everything I built from scratch, right? From one Excel sheet to now got 100,000 of them, right? I know all the languages. But again, we need to talk about rapid changes. How fast your Excel sheet can handle the VUCA, right? The volatility, uncertainty, complexity, and ambiguity. How fast, right? Of course, you can handle it, but let me tell you, it will take some time, right? And typically, you need a dedicated team to manage that. Well, but actually, you can just get the technology, the platform like Beast Design, right, to handle all that complexity. And you start focusing on the higher value added activities. Communicate with communicating with the value to the stakeholders, present them the impact analysis, and et cetera, right? So the platform like the Beast Design already designed, right, to help you to deliver or equip you with the so-called the tool for you to perform the EA tasks, rather than you need to build it from scratch, right? Of course, now my argument is that you can build a data warehouse using Excel spreadsheet. Can you do that? Yes, you can, but nobody is doing that anymore, right?
Yeah.
Instead of doing a barcode scanner, I need to enter product code one by one. Good luck. Of course, if you only have 10 items, yes, you can. But you got millions of the goods in the storeroom, no way you can handle
that. There's no way.
Yes, because no, that, I have that. Uh, just a to wrap up, I have one experience myself, right? This is back actually was like 10 years ago, right? One of our clients told me that, Aaron, I don't think I'm interested with the EA tool. I just want to do EA. You can use whatever tool you want, right? So at the time, sure. I was, you know, I thought that, yeah, why not, right? So the argument is valid. Then we started doing that. And my second week, my team came back to me, Aaron, can you give us the tool, right? We can't do with Excel. So there was a high price school fee that I need to pay, right? And from then on, we're not going to involve in the architecture using Excel. Can be done, but I need to have maybe 4 times the size of my team, right? And it costs very costly, and also cannot get the almost like up-to-date information, so everything is got lagging, right? And I don't think people can accept this type of architecture in the today digital world.
Well, that's like if you were going to set out to build a house, right? And yes, you can do hammer and nails, right?
Yes,
you can build the house with a hammer and nails, or you can go buy a nail gun that's powered by air, and it will be much faster.
Yes,
you can still build it with a hammer and nail, but there's available tools like a nail gun that will speed up your process, right? And be able to manage that building more efficiently.
Yes, you're right, Bill.
Well, Aaron, this has been wonderful. I really appreciate you coming on today on the show to talk about just, I mean, and this flyover of the last, you know, 15 years of enterprise architecture has been incredibly eye-opening for me, I hope also to our listeners. So Aaron, thank you again for coming on. Thank you all for listening, as always. If you do have recommendations for a future guest, I'd love to hear them. Please just email podcast@bizdesign.com. If you've got comments, questions, or a guest that you'd like to recommend, would love to hear from you. Aaron, thank you again. I myself am going to go to bed because it is late in the evening for me, but you have the rest of your day ahead of you.
Yes. Yes. All right. Thank you so much, Bill, and thank you everyone for listening.
Thanks again for listening, and I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Aaron Tan about the past, present, and future of enterprise architecture. Again, if you have a guest that you would like to recommend or leave us comments or questions about the episodes, please email podcasts@bizdesign.com. And of course, we always would appreciate a great review wherever you're listening to podcasts. Well, until next time, we will see you in a future state.
Well, thanks again for listening, and I do hope you enjoyed my chat with Dan Warfield around setting up a successful enterprise architecture team. We always enjoy hearing from our listeners, so if you have a question, comments, or would like to suggest a future guest, you can do so by emailing podcast@bizdesign.com. Also, if you enjoyed this podcast, please take a quick moment to leave a positive review wherever you consume podcasts. Again, thanks for listening, and we'll see you in a future state.